This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, should say host, but also realtors with Oakwin Realty in downtown Vancouver. So excited for a deep dive today into all things Kelowna. Touch a little bit on the Okanagan, but it's also a twofer in the sense that we have Colin Krieg. He is a real estate agent in Kelowna. Big on stats, really bright guy.
Data-driven.
Yes, absolutely. And he's from RE/MAX Kelowna. So really excited to have Colin on the program. And then we've got Luke Turry as a second part to this episode, who is the president of Mission Group, which is obviously one of the largest developers in BC, but a major player in the Kelowna market and the Okanagan, of course. So super excited to have both of these guys on the show today.
Yeah, it's great to have a check-in. It's also, in part, Luke's been on the show before, but it was great to have him on to talk about, they have a one-day sale coming up. This yes. is interesting. We've seen this in the Lower Mainland a few times over the last year. So this is Kelowna's edition. I don't know if they timed it to be, the day after Black Friday? I think it was Black Friday this Friday. But it's a 20% off all units. At one of their newly constructed buildings. Adam, the building's name is?
Alma on Abbott. And here's the thing. This project is super unique in that it's waterfront right in Pandozi Village, which is, in my opinion, I know I've got limited Kelowna experience, but I do know one thing. That is where you want to be in Kelowna, like right by Gyro Beach kind of area. It feels a lot like Kitsilano, shops and restaurants, super accessible. And it's also and one of the things we talked to Luke about today is location in Kelowna matters so much. And I think he does kind of a good job outlining that.
It's good to have a general market overview of how things are going in Kelowna. But I do think, that's one thing that stood out to me. And it's true in Vancouver as well. But it's in down markets when you the cream rises to the top, right? And you start to see, okay, this is the stuff that still rents. This is the stuff that still sells. This is the stuff that's stable. And
that's exactly what we always tell clients of ours and say Kits is blue chip, right? Like it's the busiest of the markets, even in down markets, right? And it's very much the same kind of with that South Pandozi area in Kelowna. So super excited to talk about that. And just in case this didn't come across, the reason we have these two people from Kelowna on today is because we're talking resale in that market and presale. So you kind of get an overview of what's happening in Kelowna holistically. And it's a really good conversation with both. I feel like we haven't talked about Kelowna recently. I think we have to do the same with the island because we get a lot of questions from people that they're saying, what's happening in the rest of BC? Obviously, we've had different trajectories here in the past 18 months. Victoria has been a busier market than the Lower Mainland. It would be interesting to hear about the Okanagan. And trying to give a better understanding and appreciation for the province.
Absolutely. But before we get to that, Adam, we have this segment that remains nameless, of course. And I do have a question for you this week. This comes right from the Stats Center, which I was looking at yesterday. One thing that jumped out at me here was that our overall inventory levels in the region are down in October since September. And I went back and I was looking at the last couple of years and I started to think, I wonder if Adam knows which month had the highest level of inventory in 2025. So I'll put it to you. That's the question. Now, we only have data. We don't have November data yet, Adam. So we have 10 months. You have 10 options. January from October 2025. Which month had the highest levels of inventory.
Ah, this is a tricky, tricky one.
You only have 10 options.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. I'm just, it is tricky. I feel like, oh man.
Well, walk us through. Walk us through what you're thinking.
Well, here's the problem is that I don't have a great memory of, like, I hate to say it, Matt, but the last 2 years in this downturn, a lot of these months have blurred together in a way where I don't feel like there's a standout. And inventory has been relatively high. Do you know what I mean? So it's really tricky. I'm trying to remember if the first half of the year, I remember inventory was climbing, but when did it peak? And I think it's going to be around those kind of like middle months of the year. So, well,
before you get to that, Adam, to your month guess, we have a listing we wanted to highlight this week, and it's over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, but I think you should take this one.
Yeah, you know what? We got it's 201-869 Beattie Street. This is the Hooper Building, a warehouse conversion converted in the late 90s, 530 square feet. This is an awesome one-bedroom condo. And that pocket on Beattie Street there, the 800 block, is super cool. There's new development. They're doing street improvements right out front. They're doing two bike lanes. They're improving the intersection at Robson and Beattie. So it's kind of like all around of it. It is improving with restaurants and new development. And then you have the city adding new infrastructure. And then you've got this beautiful, well-maintained building with a great rooftop deck and an awesome 530 square foot one bedroom with parking, with storage locker. Really cool. And it's listed at $549.9 available on our website. But Matt, let's get back to this. I'm going to go with, September.
Ooh, that pregnant pause made me think you were trying to log in quickly. September is your answer. Now, I feel like that makes a lot of sense, probably because inventory grows over the spring and then sits over the summer. But Adam,
and then people come on for the fall.
Yeah, the answer was not September, Adam. The answer was June.
I said middle.
I thought you were either logging in as you were walking through it to try and cheat, or you were actually gonna get it. So, Adam, in June 2025, the Greater Vancouver Realtor Board logged in 17,861 listings. Ooh. That was the total inventory.
That's huge.
Almost 18,000. Ever since we've been on a downward trajectory, actually August, we were in at under 17,000. Over in September, which makes sense, the kind of Labor Day bump. But get this, Adam, we're down at 16,077 as of October.
We used to live around the 12,000 though. Didn't
exactly,
we?
Yeah. And then the real scarce moments were kind of 9,000. But I think the story here to me, and maybe this is the rose-colored glasses, we're still very high on inventory. But if you look, as long as this trend continues, I think we'll look back at that kind of mid 2025 is when inventory peaked, and it's there's some absorption taking place. So this is a good news story, Adam.
For sure, Matt. But speaking of good news stories, let's check in with our neighbors in Kelowna, the Okanagan. Exciting place. It's been an exciting market over the years. We've had tons of episodes devoted to the Okanagan, and it'll be nice to get a great overview.
We'll start with Colin. Enjoy.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentera Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentera is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E, condos.ca.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown, and we're the founders of Oakland Realty.
We have 9 offices across British Columbia.
Serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakwin, please reach out to us at oakwin.com/join and type into that message box, the rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
Okay, so we're here with Colin Krieg. He is a realtor at RE/MAX Kelowna. And you're also a strong voice, I would say, in the Kelowna real estate market kind of community of people that are kind of analyzing the market. We get your emails with the stats updates. Very appreciative of that. You do a really great job with monitoring the market. So thanks for taking the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me. What a pleasure and honor to be here.
Maybe, Colin, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, apart from what Adam mentioned?
Yeah, so I started in real estate when I was 19. My dad started in 79, and I grown up building websites. And he says, Colin, you know, websites are great and all, but you really need to check out this real estate thing. So I went to business school and got my real estate license and haven't looked back since. That was almost 20 years ago now.
19.
Nice.
That's there's only one other guy I can think of that started at 19, and it was ace mortgage broker Kyle Green.
No way. Amazing. Very cool.
Yeah, that's very young. Wow. So, Colin, one thing we've got Luke Turry on this episode as well. I think we mentioned to you talking about the pre-sale market. We'd love to pick your brain on what's happening in the resale market in Kelowna. So, property is already built, and can you maybe just start like how's the Kelowna market doing right now?
Generally speaking, we're in a buyer's market. We measure that on the percentage of listings that sell every month. If we see less than 15% of the listings selling, that's good for buyers. There's typically some downward pressure on prices. 15 to 25 is considered balanced. And then more than 25% of the listing selling, good for sellers, upward pressure on prices. And right now we're sitting around that 10% mark, 10, 11, 12, sometimes down 7 and 8, just depends on the month that we're in. So it's definitely more weighted towards buyers, lots of listings, little sales.
And so are there kind of like bright spots, I guess, in the market, certain areas that seem to be outperforming? And then the flip side of that question as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems to shift throughout the year. So earlier this year, if you were in the Upper Mission and you had a house between, you know, 1.2 to 1.4, it would fly off the shelf. It would get listed and it would sell right away, even in multiple offers sometimes. And that's shifted. Now the Upper Mission's not as hot as it was earlier this year. Lake Country right now is really busy. We saw, you know, if I look at the last 3 months, there's about 14 homes that sold in Lake Country compared to 1 in the same time last year. Oh. That's a big increase. Vintry, surprisingly, is also doing really well. Lots of cheap houses there. You can find a house for, you know, $500,000-$600,000 on a third of an acre. That's attractive.
Is that kind of the logic of where stuff is, where those active pockets are? Is it a price sensitive, or is there, like, I guess the market where it's 1 property last year, 14 this year, like, is there a logic to that other than fluke, or?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. Most of the sales, so Lake Country has that example. You know, the sales were in that sort of 900 to 1.2 range. The most active part of the market is definitely 750 to a million. That's quote unquote the hot spot. And then under 1.3 is where 80% of the listings are selling right now. Otherwise, active areas, Glenmore. Glenmore's doing really well. Rutland's doing well. Areas like that. Lower Mission always does well as well.
So Colin, just thinking about it, because I mean, I think a lot of people were watching Kelowna in the peak. You know, it seemed like a lot of houses were north of $1 million bucks or seemed to be that way. So now in kind of thinking, like breaking down maybe some of the areas like you mentioned Glenmore, maybe thinking about like stuff like South Pandozi, like kind of in the north end of Kelowna, as well as thinking about like Rutlands, for example. Like, can you give us a kind of a starting price point in these areas? Like generally speaking, what can people expect if they're looking for a detached home in Kelowna right now?
Yeah, I think it depends a little on their level of expectation, right? You can buy a house for as little as 700,000 it's not necessarily the prettiest house you've ever seen, but you can find that. Generally speaking, if our benchmark price is about $1 million, that's the price of the typical home in Kelowna. So maybe that's built in the 90s, something like that. You could find that for around $1 million. So can we find something decent for 900? Absolutely. 800? Yes. 750? We're stretching it, especially if we're in a more of a premier area that's more desirable. For example, that South Pandozi, the hospital area, 750 is going to be certainly an older home, or even Glenmore. It's going to be rough. Maybe it has a cracked foundation at that price. We typically need to spend closer to that 900 and up mark to get something more reasonable, if you will.
Have there been areas that have kind of outperformed this market in this market slowdown? I know you've kind of suggested that there seems to be no rhyme or reason in some respects, but have there been kind of the stalwarts that you get a listing there, you know it's going to sell?
Yes and no. Not a good answer. It's all over the map. It really is. This market is so fickle. I will list properties that I think, oh, you know, this is going to take a while to sell, and we'll get multiple offers. And another property that I say, oh, this is going to go quick, it doesn't. It is so, I've never seen this market before, put it that way. This is so unique and so different. Generally speaking, in slower markets, everything shrinks to cores, is what I've found over this slowdown and the last ones that we've had as well. So areas that have good walkability or close to amenities always do well. Because if a buyer can pick anything, why would they want to pick something where they have to drive 15 minutes when they could walk down the street? So core areas always perform well in down markets.
In thinking about product type right now, Colin, just I know in Vancouver right now, we're dealing with a lot of end users that are out looking. A lot of ground-oriented housing seems to be selling quite well. Condos, particularly smaller condos, can be a bit more challenged in this market. Can you talk about product types? Like what would be like ideal right now as a listing agent?
Sure.
You know, like maybe talk about houses, townhomes, maybe half duplexes and condos, and kind of maybe rank them in terms of what's selling.
Certainly. So single family homes and townhomes typically seem to run neck and neck. For townhomes, that's under 900,000, especially under 850. That's still moving well. As long as it's three bedrooms or more, two bedroom townhomes, not doing so well. For single family homes, definitely under that 1.3, 1.2 range. And then under $1 million is where really you start cooking. Condos, same as Vancouver. We have a lot of supply. If I look at what's coming, trying to look forward, we have 3,000 designated rental only condos under construction. And we have another 2,600 resale condos under construction right now. So we're dealing with a lot of inventory as it is, and more is coming.
Where are you finding the demands coming from today? And maybe just the framing, and we put this to Luke as well. You know, historically, big Alberta contingent in the Okanagan. More recently, I feel like there's been a lot of lower mainland demand in Kelowna. Who are the buyers right now?
Oh, you guys are so well informed. Yeah, you're exactly right. Historically, Alberta, you know, in 10 years past was certainly a big driver. But what's interesting is, generally speaking, our Okanagan buyer pool is made up of about 60-65% of Okanagan purchasers moving within our area. In 2021, we only made up 51% of our buyer pool, which is unbelievable. Wow. That was like peak of market, right? COVID, things are going crazy. 24% were coming from the lower mainland and 11% were coming from Alberta. Fast forward to last year, only 65% of the buyers were Okanagan versus 51. So we saw an increase of local buyers in a slower market because Vancouver buyers slowed from 24% down to 15. So when Vancouver's market slows down, they don't come to the Okanagan anymore. We saw a lot of investors coming up because Kelowna's cheap in comparison. And between the vacancy rate, the rental rates, and Vancouver's market, investors just aren't coming anymore. Today, that number is even lower coming from Vancouver. We see only about 12% of our buyers coming from there, and about 70% of the buyers are local now, only 5% from Alberta.
Great stats.
Yeah, those are great stats. Part of the reason I was asking about kind of breaking down the numbers by the areas is trying to get a sense of like how far off we are from the peak in terms of pricing. Can you talk about that a little bit? I feel like a lot of listeners on our show will remember episodes where we were talking about Kelowna when the market was really active.
Totally. And again, back to that percentage of listings selling pre-COVID, just for some context, our record was 49% of the listings selling. Peak COVID, we saw 98% of the listings selling in a month. So if there were no new listings, basically every single house in Kelowna would have sold. It was just absolutely bonkers. As far as how our price corrected, just to answer your question directly, the easiest way to measure this is based on the home price index. Again, that's the benchmark price, so the price of a typical home in the area. The problem with the average price is if I have three homes selling over $3 million or 30, that impacts the average, but it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's house went up or down in value. Right? It's, you know, I'm 5'6". If I'm surrounded by 7 foot tall people, the average went up, but I didn't get any taller. That doesn't help anything. So if we look at the home price index from the very peak to today for single family homes, we're down 13%. If you're the unluckiest person in the world and you bought on the most expensive month and you sold on the least expensive peak to trough is 21%. For townhomes, it's 20%. And for condos, peak to trough is 17%.
Surprising, though. That's surprising that condos are essentially weathering the storm ever so slightly better than single family homes.
Agreed. That is also surprising to me. So I said, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's try and do some spot checks here because benchmark prices is kind of a blanket assessment. And so I said, okay, let's look at the last 6 months versus the 6 months in the peak. And I exported all the information. I said, okay, how many are there of the same homes, the same addresses that sold? Let's see if we can find something to try and compare apples to apples. And the average is down 8.5%. That's not crazy. There's a couple that were big losses. There was one for $250,000. That was a Heritage home downtown. They went down 22%. They sold for, I think, $115,000 and then just sold for, well, it was $850,000 or so. And then there was another one that was $200,000 under what they sold for at the peak, but that was a $2.1 million house. So that's less of a dramatic number in that price range.
Colin, so two questions. The first one, where are you seeing the opportunities in the market right now for buyers and also for investors? We've got investors that listen to the show that are going to hear some of the percentages that have come off the market and some will think there's an opportunity. So where are the opportunities right now in your mind?
Yeah, so let's maybe start with investors. It's hard to cash flow, right? With the way interest rates are right now, we have definitely some downward pressure on rents with all of the inventory that's coming to the rental market. But the rule of thumb I always use is the more kitchens you have on the smallest piece of land makes the most amount of sense. Land is expensive. So if cash flow is important, then we want something with, you know, two suites in it would be great. So we have three units on one house, for example. I typically don't like condos from an investment standpoint because your strat fee can wildly go up and down and that's outside of your control and it erodes all of your cash flow. If we want it from a price appreciation standpoint, Kelowna's made it very clear. We are not sprawling. We're densifying. We're building up. So more land is going to be better from a long-term hold perspective. The next thing I would look at is, again, looking forward, our transit supportive corridors. I just sold a house. It's 0.14 of an acre on a busy road. It was terrible. I walked in, I started coughing from all the smoke that had been smoked in there. There was no kitchen sink. The floor in the bathroom was collapsing. It was awful. But we paid $550,000 and you're going to be able to build a six-story apartment building. Like, this is amazing. Not typical, but incredible. So there are opportunities for investors from a long-term hold position. From a cash flow, it gets a little bit trickier. From a general buyer perspective is a little bit of a different question. And definitely the higher the price range, the better we can operate because there's just less demand there.
Right, right. And in terms of areas, like where are you most excited about?
From a future appreciation standpoint, you mean?
I think so. And also maybe like an area just becoming most dynamic as well.
I've always really liked...
Where would you buy, Colin, if you were investment-minded and trying to take advantage of this moment?
So, Matt, to answer your question about where I would buy is I can tell you where I did buy, and Matt, that maybe answers the question. I bought a quarter-acre property downtown. I think that's going to do really well. Also on a transit-supportive corridor. And then we bought a 0.4-acre property in the Lower Mission close to Gyro Beach because those are just really desirable areas. The closer we get to the lake, the better it gets. So I like it from that perspective. I've always liked the hospital area. And I know, you know, the North End, of course, we've been talking about this for 10 years at least now on the benefit of the future growth that's going to happen. I'm happy we have a plan for the mill site now. That's going to start happening. But again, we're still 10 years away before we really see something there.
I'm trying to get a sense of, and you know, it's the crystal ball question here, Colin, but you know, you're knee deep in the data and you're operating in the market. We've had a tough kind of 2.5-3 years here. What are your expectations? Where are we at in the cycle? What are your expectations moving forward kind of into next year? And when do things start getting back to kind of historic norms or even above in terms of sales volume?
Great question. So I have the data for the last 45 years of sales for Kelowna. And so I said, okay, well, this is great. Let's look at this. And I compared it to our average number of sales. And when our average or when our sales are under the average, I would call that a slump. And our slumps seem to last around 6 to 7 years. So right now, we're only 3 years in. So from that perspective, we got a little ways to go. Another way I looked at it was comparing the vacancy rate compared to our sales numbers. And I overlaid that. And that was really interesting as well. Typically, when our vacancy rate is over 2%, sales come down. When I look back, I had numbers to 1990 for this. And right now, or I should say last year, our vacancy rate was 3.8%. We don't have the numbers yet for this year. It's coming. I'm sure it's not going to be under 2%. I can promise you that. So from that perspective as well, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. I think we're going to be 3-4 years, could even be 5. I don't know. But certainly the next 2, we're going to stay in a more of a depressed market, in a buyer's market. The market's not about to run away on anybody.
You heard it here first. Well, Colin, how can people find out more about what you're up to if they want to get in touch?
Certainly. You can look us up on our website. That's www.kriegfamily.ca. You can follow me on Instagram. If you're interested in our newsletter that we send out once a month, I do all my own stats and graphs. Happy to include you on that. Just send me an email.
And we can testify. It's a great email.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks again for your time, Colin.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on your show. That was wonderful.
Okay, so we're here with Luke Turry. He is the president of Mission Group. How are you doing, Luke?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time, Luke. We should say past guest fan favorite, but it's been a number of years since you've been on the show and a lot's changed, I guess, personally, professionally, and in the Kelowna real estate market. So thanks for coming back on.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
So Luke, maybe can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'll just start with Mission Group, our company. So we've been in the Kelowna market here where we were based for the last 20 years. We're a vertically integrated home builder and real estate developer. We've built about 3,000 homes now over this past 20 years, primarily in the Okanagan, although we've done work in the Lower Mainland as well. We work a lot in pre-sale and for-sale condominium homes, as well as now more recently in the purpose-built rental space where we also own and manage those buildings. And myself, I guess I've been with Mission Group for just about 14 years, and I'm in the president role, and I work with our CEO in most facets of our business, and I'm primarily focused on making sure that our projects are really well executed. We've got lots of things going in the pipeline. And born and raised in Kelowna, and love being able to do what we do here in this amazing city, a wife and three lovely boys. And so being able to enjoy this amazing Okanagan for all four seasons is a blessing for sure.
Nice.
You know, it's been a interesting last couple of years. Can you walk us through the last, say, 3-4 years of Kelowna Real Estate? How's it been?
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably in a lot of ways, it's going to look pretty similar to the Lower Mainland. We had a peak in 2022, and for the last few years, things have been quite sluggish. You know, similar story, interest rates increasing, inventories grown, sales have softened. And then, you know, everything that's kind of happened for our lovely neighbors down south over this calendar year. So it's very much been a buyer's market. The investor buyer largely has kind of gone away, and it's really moved to an end user market. And so, I mean, like in any market where you've got housing in the right locations and the right price, things still do move. There still is, you know, baseline housing demand. Same thing for apartments that we rent as well. It's kind of, you know, fundamentals are really important these days around location and offering. But yeah, maybe starting to see a little bit of signs of some upturn or some consumer confidence, but, you know, not sure if we're grading on a curve or not.
What have been some of the biggest challenges that you and Mission Group have faced?
Yeah, well, so I would say locally in terms of the market, we've had a, you know, a consumer confidence has been at quite a low. There's just, I'm sure everyone's talking about the word in this market is uncertainty. And so, you know, regardless of where construction costs have gone or where inventory is or interest rates or whatever it is, there certainly is still a level of uncertainty in this market. And buyers are still unclear about what the timing is. And that housing demand is still sitting somewhere on the sidelines. So, you know, largely speaking, that the market has made it challenging to look at new investment and new projects, whether that be in the for sale space or in the rental space.
I'm kind of curious to hear your take on where we're at in the cycle and if the cycle in Kelowna has changed. And the context of this question is, I feel like when we were talking about Kelowna the last time you were on or with other folks in the Okanagan, the story used to be kind of a more boom and bust, kind of aligned with Alberta in a lot of ways. And then there was, you know, the UBC, kind of the regional hospital center, the airport, all these things that kind of positioned Kelowna as the regional hub in a different way than it was traditionally seen. Is it still kind of a boom and bust market in the ways that, say, we would have talked about it 20 years ago, or has it changed? Mm-hmm. And where are we at in that cycle?
Yeah, well, I think it's a great question. I mean, in the last cycle that everybody went through in kind of the 08, 09, I think Kelowna was certainly still in that sort of place, the type of place that was fueled primarily kind of Alberta's playground. And I think really since then, I would say over the past 15 years, you've seen our market start to mature and move away from being that boom and bust, largely focused on not just resort or the summertime traffic, but retirees. It's moved towards being a true mid-sized urban center. And it's matured. Of course, we are not immune to national, provincial, economic forces or the overall market. We're still, you know, in that. But the buyer here and the market itself has become more sophisticated. So certainly over the past 15 years and from kind of 2015 on, as Kelowna recovered, we started to see a lot more investment come from the Lower Mainland. And that was in spite of having, you know, Alberta at that time was certainly off and the energy market was off. But by and large, that demand from Alberta was replaced and then some by buyers in the Lower Mainland looking at an investment purchase, looking at downsizing or perhaps pre-retirement in Kelowna. And then you just got you did mention some of the investment that's been made institutionally. UBC Okanagan has been a game-changing thing that's really actually only 20 years old, and they're making big investments. It's kind of the regional healthcare hub, doing expansion to the airport. And so it has become what we would describe as kind of a true urban market. And I don't think it would have been fair to say that 20 years ago.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Luke, is there's something coming up on November 22nd. And this is going to go out on before then. It's an exclusive one-day 20% off sale on every available home at Alma on Abbott, which is a lakefront property, if I understand correctly, in Kelowna. So can you talk about, obviously that's a big move. Can you walk us through the decision and why Mission Group's approaching sales in this manner?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll maybe just give, if I can, a little bit of background on Alma, because I think, you know, the context is important. It's in Kelowna's best neighborhood. We've got an 87-unit boutique building, and it's directly across from Pendozi Waterfront Park. So it overlooks Okanagan Lake. And I think probably the easiest way to describe this for a Vancouver listener would be if you're, you know, on the south side of Cornwall overlooking Kitts Beach. It's kind of that sort of property where you've got access to the shops and services in the Pendozi Village, in this case, and then you're right on the water. So it's a really unique offering. But we're also in a really unique market. And so, you know, we've been watching the construction of that building completed last month. And we've been seeing that the market needed a catalyst. And I know that you've certainly seen over the Lower Mainland, there's a lot of different ways in which developers are looking to do promotions. But there's just a high degree of uncertainty over the market in this past year. And we're seeing it as a opportunity. The Alma 20% off event is a way to just send a really clear signal to the market. Instead of waiting for things to recover on their own, we really wanted to create some momentum, and not just for Alma. I think it'll create momentum for the market as a whole. And that's really some of the fundamental rationale behind proceeding with the sale.
What kind of response have you gotten so far? And like, what does 20% off look like, I guess, for people that aren't familiar with the market?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to the response, and that's probably been some of the most exciting thing to get our sales team and our, you know, our company excited about something. It's been a while. We've kind of been in a bit of a headwinds for the last while. And so response has been, I think it's really kind of shaken up the market, which is the intent. We just had an open house over the weekend I was at, and we had over 350 people through. And so that the type of signal that home buyers are looking for, I think we've definitely hit that mark. And it's a transparent offering. There's no homes that are reserved here. It's 20% off all available homes, studios, one bedrooms, all the way up to two bedroom and a couple of three bedroom homes as well. So to give listeners an indication, I mean, we would, you know, studio homes at a 20% discount would now start in the twos. You've got a one bedroom home that's kind of in the low 400,000s now. And even some of our two bedroom homes are in the low 500s. But the other part of this is a lot of the homes at Alma, because it's overlooking the lake, we have large two bedroom homes, and they are kind of this quintessential downsizer's dream. There's a lot of homes that are available, you know, a larger two bedroom with a lake view that's protected over the park, and they're under $1 million. And so that opportunity is something that we're able to offer buyers given where the market's at. And it's unlikely something we're going to see for a long time.
Who's coming through? Like, I'm just curious, at a 20% discount, is that enough to get investors back into the market? Or are you primarily seeing, you know, folks either looking for second homes or first-time home buyers or people moving through the market? Like, who's showing up?
I think that's been part of the excitement. Certainly that downsizer that a lot of Alma was designed for is there, and they're excited to now see, okay, I've been waiting for the time, and this looks like it might be it. But because of the pricing incentives, you've got the studio homes that cash flow. You've got one bedroom homes that, you know, if you net out mortgage principal, given where things are at right now with a 20% discount, you're still getting a positive investment return. And so we've got a number of now investor buyers that weren't there before that are now seeing this offer. And it's the type of buyer that we haven't really seen come through our presentation centers over the past couple of years.
You're calling this acting on market normalization. Can you talk about that? Like, what does that mean?
I think that Certainly, we live in a cyclical market, but there has been so many headwinds and so much uncertainty, and there's just kind of been a lack of. I think the biggest challenge is kind of trust. Like, can buyers trust and know that this is an opportunity that they can't pass up? Do they know that there's safety in that investment, whether you're an end user or your investor? Because buyers these days are so highly informed, and they're rightfully cautious. So they go through a market over the past couple of years where there's been a lot of noise, price corrections, there have been different incentive programs, there's been construction delays, there's been interest rate swings, and they want certainty, credibility. And that's what we've tried to do. We just want to cut through the noise and show a real value proposition upfront, kind of not holding something back and giving them the opportunity to say, regardless of what's happening in the market right now, I know that this is something that I can't pass up. So we've had to meet where the market is and what they're looking for.
We're seeing obviously some easing when it comes to interest rates. You know, there's little certain bursts of activity kind of throughout the year, but generally it's been pretty soft. You know, I'm thinking back to over the years when we've talked about the Kelowna market on this show, and it's usually talking about how excited everybody is about Kelowna. And, you know, we've watched that market over the years where, you know, there's been a frenzy to own real estate in Kelowna. Everybody really excited about the future of the city. What's it going to take? Like, what needs to happen to get this market back to higher sales volume in your mind?
Yeah, I would say probably the first thing that just generally the industry would look for before maybe specifically Kelowna is looking at ways to have people be able to prosper. Like a focus on overall economic prosperity, investing in things that are going to help Canadians and create jobs and income growth, and really thinking about growing the pie. And I think part of that will also include bringing immigration back to more normalized levels. Right now, it's kind of been a knee-jerk reaction, and we'll see that in some of the population growth numbers short term. But absolutely, immigration needs to be part of it. You know, has to change back to normalized levels so that our economy can grow. So part of it, honestly, is a macro level that Kelowna faces. But I think also for our market and in context, we need to be investing in those sort of things locally as well, and making sure that there's, you know, opportunities for entrepreneurship here and investing in our sort of industries. We talked earlier about how Kelowna has evolved as a housing market. That is absolutely true. We're also evolving as an economy. For people that may have come here as a kid and you know, enjoyed Kelowna in the summertime, it was kind of like an orchard environment and a tourist environment. And we're a long way from that, but we also are a long way where we need to be in the future. And I think, you know, the city has been doing a pretty good job in making some investments in a down market right now. As I said, expansion of the airport as an example, trying to look at ways to stimulate our economy. But by and large, I think specifically to the market, it's going to take some time once the recovery happens to absorb some standing inventory. Kelowna does not have this level of standing inventory in some of the bigger markets. But when we do see signs of a positive market coming back, it'll first help with the resale and the standing inventory. And then we'll be in a place where it will make sense to have new projects launch.
In thinking about the city, Luke, we've had Ross Soward on the show. We've had James Moore, two, I believe at the time, I don't know if they're still there, but long range urban planners at the city of Kelowna. Super exciting. Generally speaking, people are pretty excited about the planning department and what's happening in Kelowna at the municipal level. Can you talk about what areas are you excited about and maybe what's happening with the municipality that makes you kind of optimistic about the future of the city?
I mean, yeah, we certainly work with Kelowna and other municipalities in the Okanagan. I think generally speaking, the city understands that although we've had quite a bit of housing supply in the for sale and purpose-built rental space added to our market over the last few years, they know that they can't take their foot off the gas, particularly where the industry has been challenged. Housing starts have come down. And it's only going to take a couple of years to see that those those housing starts that aren't happening now aren't going to be bringing new housing supply to the market in the future. The city certainly does understand that housing, access to housing and housing affordability and housing options are all really important parts of a healthy economy. And so they definitely see that. One of the things recently that's been interesting to watch is the short-term rental debate. And recently, as of last month, the City of Kelowna Council has agreed to move back towards maybe a more balanced approach. Certainly the short-term rental changes impacted BC broadly. Kelowna is a really unique spot in that because of the tourist market that we have. And they're actually looking to loosen some of those restrictions or for certain buildings and try to get a little bit more tourist accommodation back. That will help to clear up some of the inventory as well for buildings that were planned to be short-term rental and then were caught up in the provincial changes. And I think that will help with some of that inventory.
Luke, I'm just thinking, you know, the headlines you see right now and, you know, in the Globe and Mail, you know, the death of the shoebox condo and, you know, these kind of broad sweeping statements about how the industry is changing and potentially how buildings are financed and how they get built. You know, it strikes me this 20% off sale, you know, this one day sale of a building that's actually completed. Like, is this a new playbook? Is this something that you see kind of happening more often now where it's like actually bring something to market and, you know, use kind of, you know, Black Friday sales tactics to kind of move it, or is this just a moment in time where it's like, all right, let's stimulate this market and get this stuff sold?
Yeah, I don't suspect that certainly this sort of opportunity, particularly in a building like Alma across from the park, I don't see that coming back anytime soon. But I do think the point around the end users is important. You know, that pre-sale market that we have all gotten used to over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, it's unclear whether when that comes back. I think no one has that crystal ball, but when it does come back, what will it look like? You know, I've talked with a lot of different people who've got much more experience than I do in this market. And it was very common to be selling from standing in, from completed product, from standing inventory. And it gives people the opportunity to see exactly the view. And there's no guessing. Usually, of course, that the issue has been that the end user is not often buying 3 or 4 years out. And so there is some of that disconnect. And there might be some changes to how buildings are financed. I think that's really good for the buyer. And also, I think it's probably for the industry to make sure that there's that focus on that end user. We're going to have to create ways to finance these buildings. But I think it does inevitably help that end user buyer get into that market and understand it. I just have to say, just on the kind of rhetoric around the shoebox condos, we build lots of different housing types, concrete towers, wood frame. And I think that's the main point should be that housing is a good thing. And studios and one bedroom homes are great. Three bedroom condos are great. Townhomes are great. Single family homes are great. But sometimes this polarizing sort of lightning rod of it's either a shoebox condo or it's a single family home in the suburbs. It's a whole spectrum of housing. And I want to make sure that we don't forget that.
Well, in that same vein, Luke, has Mission Group changed, like pivoted in terms of what they're building? Because I mean, we've talked to a lot of developers in the lower mainland that, you know, if they don't have to take the risk on of building a concrete tower with a, you know, 5 to 7 year kind of trajectory, they don't want to do it right now. And it's easier to perhaps build end user products, wood frame product. And anyone who's been to Kelowna will notice the downtown. I mean, it's an interesting mix of, you know, houses built kind of post-war bungalows and concrete towers kind of along the, yeah, around the perimeter. Has this changed how Mission Group is approaching development?
Long-term strategy is still very much the same. We're going to develop in high amenity neighborhoods, walkable, and primarily in Kelowna. That looks like South Pandozi, where Alma is, and in the downtown. We're also building in Penticton, which I think is a great market, looking in other markets in the Okanagan, like Kamloops, and even further afield. But obviously, in the short term, to be able to make a large project like a concrete high-rise in a downtown environment work, that market isn't there. And so, sure, in the short term, we're looking at other things that might pencil out better. But I just kind of go back to the, will condos go away in a concrete tower form? No, in the short term, sure. But, you know, in the long term, it's still part of the mix. End user stuff is still part of the mix. And it comes in cycles, because when you can do a concrete tower, great, it's efficient, and you can do a lot of homes in one project. And sometimes that means things like townhomes become, you know, less of an option. And so they kind of get forgotten about. And you get into a market like this and say, hey, wouldn't townhomes be good? Like, personally, I love townhomes. We've built a number of different townhome communities. I think it's a wonderful housing option for many people, particularly families. And so it comes in waves, right?
Well, maybe we'll leave it there, Luke. But we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
No problem.
This podcast is sponsored by Jethro Condos in downtown Langley. Over 100 homes under $425,000 with one-bedroom suites starting at $399,900.
Here's what's incredible, Adam. These condos actually cash flow. When's the last time we could say that about new construction in the Lower Mainland? With these entry-level prices, the numbers actually work for investors.
And you're in the heart of downtown Langley, surrounded by trendy cafes, artisan bakeries, and parks. The area is experiencing incredible growth and new development.
Yeah, the location is absolutely key. Jethro is steps from the future Langley SkyTrain station. Get in before that transit connection transforms the area. Because once that SkyTrain arrives, you're looking at direct connections across the Lower Mainland.
Jethro is a Whitetail Homes project. Whitetail Homes has over 25 years of experience with quality construction and finishes that exceed expectations. We're talking vibrant interiors, expansive windows, and thoughtful design.
For realtors listening, they are offering amazing cooperative incentives. This is a rare opportunity where the fundamentals make sense. Affordable entry, cash flow potential, and positioned for major transit infrastructure. An all-around win.
Register at jethrocondos.ca. That's Jethro condos.ca.
Jethro Condos, distinctly Langley, uniquely yours.
Okay, so question number one, what is one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners?
Think about this. I read a book earlier this year called Abundance by Ezra Klein. And I think it's kind it's an interesting take on maybe what has gotten in the way of progress in many areas of our lives. It's an American take, I should say, but I think it does have parallels to Canada.
That's a good one. That's one we have not had on the show yet. In the last few years, Luke, and you've been very busy in the last few years, but do you have a new belief, behavior, or habit that has improved your life?
In the last 18 months or so, I've gotten into running. Like long distance running. And I've played a lot of sports growing up. It was never something I ever cared to do, to be honest with you. I did a half marathon last year and then did a marathon last month. I won't tell you my times, but it's been great, because if you put something in your calendar, like a run like that, you better go out and do it. So, you know, you get up in the morning, you clear your head. I think it just helps just with discipline and headspace. And you know, obviously there's some health outcomes there as well, but primarily from a mental health perspective, I've really enjoyed running.
That's great.
From the perspective of two guys who have done half marathons, but have never ever considered doubling that up, how much harder
share
is
their
a full
times?
Marathon?
Yeah.
I've told people that everything went great with the marathon. Everything went according to plan, except for my time. But, you know, I think that's actually probably one of the coolest things about running, is that regardless of where you're at, regardless of your, you know, age, size, what athletic ability or whatever, you can always improve. And it's incredible what I see people out running, and that, you know, somebody that's almost double my age going out there and doing things, it's amazing. So I think that there's always something to strive for, which is cool.
Next question, Luke, what have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
The TV, I fall asleep too early sometimes. My youngest is 5 now, so I'm out of the Paw Patrol stage.
You're out of Paw Patrol.
The one thing, the one that came up this year that I thought was fabulous was the studio. And that was with Seth Rogen on Apple TV.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Most of the episodes are pretty short, so I can finish them. My wife and I can watch without falling asleep first, but really, really, really good. Very, very funny.
Yeah, there's a pace to that show that like almost makes me anxious while I'm watching it. It's really yeah, fast. It's all in one shot, right?
They do a lot of those single takes, which is really, it's frantic.
Matt, number four.
Number four, music you've been listening to, Luke. And I don't want to go gender on this, but presumably not as much Taylor Swift as everybody else on this call is listening to. But what are you listening to?
Well, the caveat, I got 3 boys at home. So, 5, 5, 8, and 11. Personally, I've been listening to the Red Clay Strays this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Southern rock, great. But honestly, what plays on my phone most, because my kids take my phone to play music, is Forrest Frank. He's a Christian music artist in the States who's become really popular, and he's got very catchy music. So my wife and kids love Forrest Frank.
Ah, nice. Last but not least, something that you've purchased for under $1,500 that's had a positive impact on your life.
I mean, I probably have to go back to running. I think I've spent an uncomfortable amount on running shoes. I thought that just running shoes was a running shoe. Like you go to sport check, you buy a shoe, but little did I know that there is a ridiculous amount of tech in these things now. And you can spend a silly amount on a pair of shoes on your feet, but it makes a huge difference when you've got the right gear.
Ah, that's a good one.
Right on, right on. Well, how can people find out more? We usually say about what you're doing, but in this case, Luke, Mission Group, but also this blockbuster sale that's coming up.
Yeah. So colonicondoday.ca or just search Alma on Habit. And you'll be able to find details around the sale on Saturday, November 22nd. Of course, you can also find anything you like on missiongroup.ca. That's where all of our corporate information is. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So I'm happy to have people reach out if they want to start a conversation.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for taking the time today, Luke. And good to catch up.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Colin Krieg from Remax Kelowna and Luke Turry, the president of Mission Group, out of Kelowna as well. Great overview there.
Good chatting with both those guys. And it's great. It's funny, but we've been getting lots of questions, people reaching out. Seems to be a lot of people want to know, one, what's happening with the Okanagan? 2, what's happening with the island? And 3, did I ever get my claim at ICBC approved after the scooter accident? So we're kind of tackling those one-on-one. We'll deal with ICBC later, but the answer is no. Still not approved. Anyways, Matt, what else do we got for the day?
What else do we have for the day? Well, we have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is where all things real estate related live. We have buyer's resources like private client services. Just click buy with us. We have, of course, the sold plan, which I think we failed to mention in the intro. Start on launch date. That's just click sell with us and you'll get the most downloaded document we've ever produced.
Yes. Step-by-step guide, how to sell your place.
Yeah. More importantly than that, Adam, what we've been asking is people that are finding value with the show, in the show, from the show, I'd say, should like, subscribe, or share. And sharing is, I think, the best way that we can grow and the best way you can show your appreciation if you get value from the show. And that's all we ask. And if you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a shout at 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com. Kokomo, and when I say that, I'm thinking Pandosi, Gyro Beach.
Yes.
It's November and I'm thinking,
very nice.
Man, it would be good to get back to Kelowna in the summer.
It's a good spot to be in the summer. Well, have a great week, everybody. And we're back here next week with another great episode.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.